It is 7:04 a.m. You're listening to DJ Marty here on AFN Road of the Eagle, and we are here with the NASA Road of CEO, Captain Suarez. It's my first time with you, sir. It's kind of exciting. I'm a little nervous. I get
No reason to be nervous, man. This is your booth. We're here. We're your guests.
No, I'm
looking forward
excited
to the conversation.
It's good to have you guys, and we have a couple special guests also. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Lieutenant Commander Greg Rex, clinical psychologist, department head of behavioral health at the hospital. I was working on my radio voice this morning, so I don't know if it's coming across or not. But.
And I'm Lieutenant Commander Philip Hensley. I'm a clinical social worker at the Naval Hospital, and I also serve Captain Suarez in the base as the Director of Psychological Health.
No, it's great to have you. And one of the big topics that we're going to be covering this month is it is April. It's a big thing for us here. It is month of the military child. We were pretty lucky. We have some interns from DGF that are coming in this week, and they're coming on the radio.
Oh, that's cool. That's got to be exciting for them.
Oh, they love it. It's a good time.
Yeah.
We'll be showing that on our social medias later on in the week. But yeah, it is a very important month. You know, there are a lot of challenges that come with being a military child.
There are, yeah. So we've got two kids, a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they go to DGF. So they have a great built-in community there because it's a bunch of kids who go through the same thing. The constant moves, the uprooting, the losing your friends every year, like a third of your friends disappear because they move on to their next duty station. And it's a very challenging situation. But I think that the community that we have here is exceptional in the way that they support them. Not only the kids who know what you're going through, but we have some incredibly compassionate teachers and leaders at the school who understand all those challenges and really dive into making sure the kids have the support they need. And we're just a small microcosm of the military. There's 1.6 million kids in military children, and across the world, they're going through all of these challenges pretty much every day. I think it's amazing that we take a month to recognize that. It's also a little bit close to home for me because I think I mentioned it last year. I'm also a military child, so I grew up the son of a senior chief. So I remember all of those moves and how everyone, the older I got, was harder and harder and harder. But how interesting it was to show up in a new place where there were other kids who were going through the same thing that I was. Some of my schools were very much military-affiliated schools, and then my last couple were not. So it was interesting to see the difference where there were friends who had been friends for all their lives, and here I am, some new kid popping in. But it's I love this month because it helps the kids understand that they are all kind of going through this unique circumstance, which is kind of weird to say they're all going through a unique circumstance, but there it also helps them, I hope, realize that there's some resiliency and some growth that they go through, especially kids overseas, that so many children don't experience. So when they come through this, when they settle down, whenever that might be, they will have some tools and some strengths that other kids won't. So they'll be much more able to handle some of the challenges that life brings because they've had to handle these growing up. So,
and so for you know, you said you grew up as a military child. How have you seen the programs and the things available to you kind of grow and expand over time?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't remember many programs when I was growing up. I think that it was the 80s when I was growing up, so we had the super giant fleets and everybody was focused on the bear and the existential threat that was the Soviet Union at the time. I don't remember a lot of programs that didn't directly relate towards the fleet and everything they had to go through. Of course, I was, 10 years old at the time, so who knows what I was actually paying attention to. But in the time I've been in the Navy and I've had the chance to pay more attention to these things, I've seen a lot of the growth of the programs around the families and more directly the kids. And just the attention that we pay to it, and at the highest levels, you can see the ads with the Secretary of Defense talking about how important it is that our families are supported because that directly affects the operational readiness of our sailors. I think it's incredible because we all know it's true. Everybody who has anybody in their life, and we all do, who helps support them understands just how important they are in our ability to do our job.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. Being here on the radio, we get a lot of guests who come and promote these events for these children. We have a coach come in, and he promotes the sports.
Coach is amazing.
Randy Lambert, the slow.
Randy's amazing.
Every week he'd come in here, and it's the amount of opportunities that were available. You know, I'm a little jealous sitting here. I'm like, I didn't hear about any of this when I was younger. So it's really cool.
It is cool.
It's awesome to see it actually, you know, being used in the community and getting to see the kids here. You know, at first we were a little nervous because we're like, oh, they're forced to come here to the radio station. Yeah. I don't know how to talk to them, you know, and they love it. They love the opportunities and just being involved in the community. So this is a great place where you can actually see it, like everything. The base is small, but because of that, you can see the impact of everything that's going on.
That's true. It's a great lens to the support that the Navy as a whole provides. But I do think the team here is exceptional. I might be a little bit biased.
No, they're awesome.
We got Coach, you got Randy, you got people like Tom Durning with MWR and the programs that they have that bring it all together. The two principals at the schools, it's an exceptional team that we have here providing these opportunities for these kids.
They're great, sir. And I love having them on the radio. Like I said, they put out great stuff. But we're going to be taking a quick little break and then shifting our focus. But first, coming up next is Fade Into You by Mazzy Star. 7:15 a.m. You're listening to DJ Marty here on AFN Rota the Eagle, and I'm here once again with Captain Suarez, the Naval Station Rotocio, the big boss here on a base. And before we were talking about Month of the Military Child, we're going to be shifting our focus a little bit. We're going to be talking about other important things going on in April, and to start it off, it is Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month.
Right, so Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month and Child Abuse Prevention Month. Two huge and critical ideas, critical things that we have to get after. We're talking about the ability of our sailors and warfighters to be able to focus on their mission. If you are concerned about your safety, then you're not focused on the mission, which is why the Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Month matters so much. And if you're worried about the well-being of your child as a parent, you're never going to be able to focus on your job. So Child Abuse Prevention Month. So that is militarily, as the CO, why these months matter to me. But as just a person, the importance of someone's ability to just focus on his or herself is one of the foundations of a strong society. So I'm getting a little bit mixed up in this one as I try and figure out the right way to say this one, but one of the foundations of the United States is the ability, the path that everybody has to improve themselves. And if anybody's worried about sexual assault or the safety of their kid, then they're going to be focused on, if we talk about Maslow's hierarchy, just the very foundation thing, am I okay? So if we can make sure that everybody is okay, or they understand the tools available to help make sure that they are okay, then we've at least accomplished one step in their ability to start improving on themselves, turning them into the people that they want to be. So there's a lot that goes into these things. We have our Fleet and Family Support Center. They have some programs that they kick off this month, specifically the sexual assault and prevention core element of the Fleet and Family Support, as they start to push out some of the information with this. The Family Advocacy Program is going to keep pushing out information throughout the month. We signed a proclamation earlier this month just to demonstrate how important it is to us here on the installation to make sure that everybody understands what we have available to support them, because again, wearing two hats as the CO of this installation, I want to make sure that we are providing the best possible support to the warfighting units, and at its foundation, ensuring their sailors are able to focus on their job. This is critical in that. And then as a person, as a husband, as a dad, these are important to me, just making sure that all the people here are able to continue to develop as into the people that they want to be, whether that's adults trying to improve on themselves or kids just growing up. So it's very important to me that we pay attention to these, that we continue to improve on these, that we continue to provide safe environments for people to grow here in Naval Station.
Absolutely. Rota. And the program here on the base is the SAPR program is incredible. You can tell that, you know, they do what they're doing because they love it, and you can see the impacts of that. You know, we have three advocates here alone from the station. That's like a third of the command.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And everyone is very involved, and And, you know, when you're in the military for long, like a little bit longer, you can sometimes you see like negative cases and whatnot. But here at Naval Station Rota is like one of the places for me where, you know, I'm very confident in telling someone like you can go speak with the representatives because they do such a good job and they do.
Yeah.
They you know, they're going to take care of you. And it's just being like like an active duty sailor. It's such a good thing to know that program is something that you can really rely on to send someone in need.
So because you have more active duty sailors who are fully invested in this, who have thrown their heart and soul into providing the support. When I have the chance to speak to people who are going through that program, I remind them that as soon as that phone rings, you've got to be willing to put everything about you aside so that you can focus on the person on the other line. And so far, everyone that I've met have demonstrated that they are fully willing to set themselves aside to provide that support to people who need support on the worst possible night of their life. And our SARC does such a great job, Christina, with putting this program together and the support she provides to everybody who's a part of the program. It is incredible, and they are passionate about it, and they want it.
And you can definitely, you know, you can show your support, show up to their events. They post everything online, and thanks to wonderful Base PAO, you can track that on the Facebook page. But we're going to be not really shifting focus. We're going to get into some behavioral and psychological health issues with Lieutenant Commander Rex and Lieutenant Commander Hansley. But first, coming up next is Sweet Dreams by, I want to butcher this, Eurythmics. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Lee.
That's why you're 7:27 a.m. You're listening, DJ Marty here. And we are back with the NAFSA Rota CO, Captain Suarez. But we have a couple special guests, Lieutenant Commander Rex and Lieutenant Commander Hansley. Excited to have you guys on here today. We're going to be covering Rota's behavioral and psychological health departments. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here and happy to have the opportunity to talk to you all.
You look excited, sir. You look excited. How about you, sir?
It's pre 7 o'clock in the morning getting here.
Yeah. That's normal. It's just, you got to be used to it by now, sir. It's, no, but it is exciting to have you guys here. And for someone like myself who's not too knowledgeable in the medical field, you know, just to start it off, what is exactly the difference between behavioral and psychological health?
Yeah, so this is interesting because we kind of, in any field, there's always terminology changes and shifts and things. So, you know, the distinction, I don't know if necessarily makes a huge difference, but psychological health or psychology is the study of the human mind and human behavior. So for years and years, we'd be referring to mental health. And more so now, especially in the Navy, we have behavioral health departments. And for me, the shift is more kind of functional that and maybe even more helpful that now, you know, the focus and maybe the more helpful and effective focus is on building habits and behaviors around psychological health and well-being. Mental health almost had the, you know, seeming meaning that, hey, if you can battle your mind, you can figure this thing out. And if anyone's tried that, you know that maybe it's not super helpful. And so so a lot more focus of how are we cultivating meaningful habits around our values to really support the lives that we want to lead. And so to me, that's kind of what we want to focus on with behavioral health.
Absolutely. So what exactly is like your different objectives here at Naval Station Rota? Because like for someone like myself, who, like I said, I'm not in the medical field, you know, you go back from when I joined and there's been a big push for, you know, bringing more awareness to mental health and getting treatment, taking care of yourself. So, you know, like I said, so like I have no idea. I don't know. What exactly are your objectives here at Naval Station Rota?
Yeah, I mean, so, and I can take this first and then you can kind of take it, Lieutenant Commander Hensley. But, you know, so I'd say our departmental objectives, right, we have kind of three priorities, you know, taking care of patients first and foremost. And until that happens, everything else is secondary, but also taking care of, you know, each other, right? So the people that are doing that work, and then really supporting and taking care of folks across the base, right? So leadership, commands, helping people out, and how can they support their sailors more effectively? For folks coming to see us, if I could put a sign over the door, I would say, you know, this is the place to come to do your lives and jobs better, right? To how to be more effective at connecting with the things that you care about. And regardless of what you're showing up with and what you're struggling with, how can we help you navigate those things? So that's my bumper sticker version of what we do and what I hope to accomplish.
My specific role at the Naval Hospital, I am embedded in the primary care clinic. And so any of the providers can refer to me for any problem, basically. It does not have to fall in the sort of the line of mental health or behavioral health. It could be I have a new diagnosis and I need to help. I need help figuring out how to get on a specific eating and exercise plan, right? So even health related behaviors. So we're looking at any problem set and what is a solution that we can start today working on and then building on that over time. So that's my specific role at the hospital. And what I'm doing with Captain Suarez is a somewhat new program to the Navy called the Director of Psychological Health Program. Every installation has that. And our role is basically to look at the resources that are available on the base, not just the hospital's resources, but Fleet and Family, MFLAC, Chapel, and as that program grows, we're going to start potentially identifying other areas to bring in. And we're making sure that all those resources are meeting together on a routine basis. I meet with Captain Suarez monthly and kind of report up what we're working on, what are some of our initiatives, what improvements we're making in areas that we have been focusing on. And so ultimately the goal is to make sure everyone's working together, not duplicating services, that we can talk about trends that we're seeing in the community. And hopefully this will ultimately get back to the commanders to make sure they understand what's available for their folks, and so that that pipeline can be better known, better understood, and that leadership can better work with their folks.
So I would say from my perspective, not excuse me, I again with a couple of hats that I wear, one of the things that we are all trying to accomplish is ensuring that the war fighters are able to get out there and do their job. And I think almost all of us, well, pretty much all of us want to do well at whatever job that we've been giving, including all of our sailors out here. And so when our sailors hit some sort of roadblock that kind of gets in the way of them being able to do well, I look for all the different ways that we can try and help them overcome those roadblocks. Sometimes it's very simple things like making sure they get more rest or that we have the right nutrition for them at the galley. And sometimes it's more complex things. It needs the help of people who've dedicated their professional lives to being able to understand these things, like the behavioral health departments or psychological health. And It is all a concerted effort to make sure that when those ships deploy, when those jets take off, when the expeditionary forces head over the horizon, they are able to fully focus on the job that they have. So I look at what they provide as one of the critical tools in helping the warfighters get after some very unique needs that they might need, because we're all wired differently. So very selfishly, very very pragmatically, as the CEO of the installation, these guys are an incredibly important tool that we have to make sure that the folks who are doing the dangerous missions can focus on those dangerous missions, because we want them all to come back after doing those. So just from my perspective, that is the support that they provide. And the hospital here is really good at providing that support across the spectrum, but focusing today on the behavioral health. What Doc Hensley is doing is really, really important, because when I showed up here, I took a look at all the different ways that we can provide support, but it felt like they were all very different programs working towards the same goal, but without really kind of working together. And what he's done is he's helped build a program that ties all of those together. I'm sorry, wish everybody was here in the studio with me because my hands are really important in this discussion. But what it does is it helps get all these programs that we're moving in the same direction. It lets them provide support to each other. It helps them understand where the other programs can provide better support or where they can take some of that responsibility so that the clinicians can focus on the folks who need the clinical help, and that we can get some of the counselors at Fleet and Family, or we can get the chaplains more involved to get to make sure that we're getting help in the right place. So that installation holistic look at this is, I think it provides huge benefits to everybody who's looking for that help, because it helps them get the help that they need in at the right level. So that's my perspective on it. I think the work that they are doing is hugely important, and I think the way that we are going about it now with this holistic look is, I think it's the right direction from my perspective.
You can absolutely feel the effects of that. Sometimes I'll go talk to the chaplain and be like, hey, sir, I'm stressing out. And because of how cohesive everything is, they'll let you know where you can go, what's available to you. But, you know, for the younger sailors, it's not necessarily as easy, you know, regardless of how available everything is. It's not easy to reach out to those resources. So what is some advice that you would give a younger sailor who is having that difficult time, you know, going out and getting the help they need?
Right. And I'll defer to the docs for some of their perspective on it in just a second. But for me, there's a lot of pride. There's a lot of pride in people. So I don't know, for a little sidebar here. I don't know if everybody understands what the Monty Hall problem is. So there was an old game show where you would open up one door. There's three different doors. Pick the door that's got the prize behind it. So you pick the door. They open up one of the other doors. It shows it's not the prize. Everybody's instinct is to stick with that door that they already picked, which is wrong. And over the course of decades, they've proven mathematically over and over and over that the right way to pick those doors. But people refuse to follow that. Pigeons learn faster the process to pick the right door to get the prize, because pigeons don't have the same pride that we do. Sorry. So this is a really weird sidebar that I'm going through, but people have a lot of pride in who they are, in our independence. In the United States, we're taught that independence is one of our fundamental, it's one of our core values, like being able to handle our stuff by ourselves. And it's really hard to overcome that. But I mean, I've been playing the game long enough that I know that I would never succeed without the support that I got at all levels throughout my career. And this is another great way to get support. There is a whole team here who is dedicated to making sure that we can be successful. Like, and there's, I personally have sought out help. When I was on a deployment, I was away from home for 330 days. There was one point where I thought I was going home, and I got extended. Turned out to be extended another 6 months. That is hard, right? So in those situations, I went and I found some help. I started out talking to a chaplain for a while, somebody that I really trusted. He left, right? So I started talking to some of the docs down there, and they provided me a lot of support so that I was able to continue with my mission, which supported the carrier strike group. So I can tell you personally, I was able to get that support that I needed. It got me home safely, so I was back with my family as a whole person to be able to get back after what I was doing. But sorry, a lot of talking. I'll defer to the docs on how they can help, you know, let young sailors know how they can get that help.
Yeah, I think what you said is really important, and especially the what we don't realize, right? You know, the difference between us and pigeons and things like that is the fundamental problem, right? So, like, you know, the reality right now on this base is this is probably just the easiest access to mental health that you could have probably had in the last several years, right? We have access to care at our clinic. Fleet and Family has availability and all of that. So if you're requiring help, it's there. But the issue is, and this is kind of for us as humans, this is what makes this really difficult, is sometimes we kind of know what can be helpful for us or what we need to do. But we have this thing called our brain, right, that that gets caught up in all kinds of unhelpful stories about, well, you know, what would be the consequences if I do this, or what will this mean about me, or what will other people think, and all of that kind of stuff. And it's this conundrum we have, right? So, you know, on the one hand, life is stressful, especially if we're pursuing important things in our lives. It's stressful, and our minds aren't very good at showing up to stress. And so, just I encourage if you're in a place right now where you're struggling and that part of your mind is saying, I can't go seek help, or I'm supposed to do this on my own, or things like that, to just kind of check that for a second, say, thanks, mind, and then ask someone you trust or seek us out to try to get that support and help to navigate some of these things. Even some of the simplest behaviors, we call it simple, right? I need to eat better. I need to exercise more. I need to get some sleep. Our minds do a really good job of getting in the way of us being able to do that. So getting help is part of this. Part of being human is building relationships and community and getting perspectives outside of our own to help move our lives in a better and meaningful direction.
And it's really important what you just said. Someone you trust. So it doesn't have to be going and seeking help, right? There's a lot of people, hopefully, around you that you can talk to, whether it be friends, chain of command, family, that you can let them know you're going through some struggles. It's very likely they've experienced something similar to what you're going through. And they may be able to help you, A, come up with some solutions on your own, or B, encourage you, help you have a little bit more confidence in going and seeking help. The other thing I will say is it's not uncommon that we have folks come through our door and talk about something that they've been struggling with, and it comes out, you know, weeks or months down the road that there's a bigger problem that they're actually experiencing. And sometimes it's just going in, taking those first initial steps and talking about something that you feel a little bit more comfortable with. So you can develop that relationship with that person and trust, and start to understand that you can talk about some of these bigger issues that you're experiencing. So when you're looking at what can I do, where can I go, there's really no wrong answers.
Yeah, there is a ton of resources available on base. And one of the things I like to tell my little young is that stress is not just stress. Stress is horrible for your body. I think as humans, we don't realize like the effect that it really has on you, like physically. It just, all aspects of your life are affected by it. You know, we talk about stress as so simple, like, oh, I'm a little stressed, but it really does have a large effect on you. And I think it's important, like you guys said, to get the help that we need. But we're going to be taking a quick little break, and then we'll be back with some of the upcoming events going on here at Naval Station Rota. But first, coming up next is I Ran So Far by A Flock of Seagulls. 7:47 a.m. You're listening to DJ Marty here on AFN Rota the Eagle. We are back with Captain Suarez, Lieutenant Commander Rex, and Lieutenant Commander Hensley. You know, we're talking about behavioral and psychological health and some of its effects. Sorry, and we kind of had a nice little conversation.
Yeah, a little off air. Or off air.
We're gonna bring it on air, but about, you know, some of the reasons why we kind of get stuck in toxic behaviors.
So for those who are listening, I apologize for my terrible explanation of the Monty Hall program. I do recommend you take a look at it. It's an interesting insight into how we react to information. But Doc Rex, you were just talking a little bit about some of the I'm a dumb pilot, so I'm having trouble explaining some of the ways that our brain affects the way that we make long-term decisions.
Yeah, I think it's important to, because sometimes we beat ourselves up over and over again for not doing the things that we know are important, or maybe we ask ourselves, like, why do I keep getting myself in these situations over and over again? And sometimes it's important to normalize how difficult it is being human because of how our minds work. And one of the fundamental difference between us as humans and all other animals is the fact that we think, right? So we have language, and through that languaging ability, we can do things like imagine future scenarios and consequences, and we can actually change our behavior based on something that isn't even going to happen in the future. But that whole process does set us up to, you know, have a really difficult time learning by what we call trial and error. It's a really helpful, valuable thing. I didn't have to relearn how to tie my boots this morning. I didn't have to relearn how to drive the car today. And when it comes to how do we respond to difficult life events, unchangeable circumstances, and specifically our emotional, our psychological pain and discomfort and things like that, our brains do a really good job of putting us on the path of short-term avoidance, control. How do I not feel this way? How do I get rid of this thought or not think this way about myself? And when we step back after the fact, we're like, all of those things probably weren't helpful in the long run, and yet it feels very difficult to do anything different in the moment. So the tough part of saying that is like we're kind of set up for some of these difficulties. The good news is that very same, you know, languaging part of our brain can actually do some work to really clarify, hey, if we do it, you know, intentionally, like, what do I want this life to be about? What do I want my life to be about? What do I want my relationships to be about? And we can start working actively to kind of set the stage to say, hey, maybe there's something a little bit more important to me that's maybe a week beyond this pain or a month beyond this pain or a year or 10 years. And what would it look like to move in that direction in the midst of this difficulty, in the midst of this stressor?
That's fascinating. I really enjoyed having that discussion when we were off air, and I appreciate you being able to share that with everybody who's listening out there. And one thing, again, is the non-doctor on the mic, it helps me remember that even though some of my challenges are very unique and individual to me, as a whole, the challenges that we face are challenges that we all face. So it could be one more way to think about how you go to ask for help, how you talk to somebody about some of the challenges you're facing, understanding that as people, our brains are relatively wired the same way. They get in the way of us, for most people, the same way. And it could help you understand that asking for help is what everybody else is probably doing to some extent as well. So we're all facing challenges like that. We're all having problems getting past the idea that I wanted to wake up this morning to work out before coming here, but it was just too hard. So I slept in a little bit. And we all face those issues.
Absolutely. Yeah, everyone has different challenges. For us being MCs, I tell the youngins, our job is very easy in comparison to a lot of things that other people do in the Navy. But just because our job is easy doesn't mean you don't have the right to have a bad day and, you know, complain. So, you know, just be aware that your struggles are different than everyone else's. But it doesn't mean that they're not struggles. You know, everyone handles things differently, and that's perfectly fine. You know, go out and get the help that you need. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think it's great that we are creating a culture of that being more acceptable instead of just like, you know, walk it off.
Yep.
And you'll be better tomorrow.
Yeah. And Doc Hensley, going back to something you said that reinforced something Doc Rex said, the friends too, turning to friends to just have those and ensure that you have a network around you. I use my family a lot for that. My wife is my confidant. She knows everything that's going on, and she helps keep me level throughout all the turbulencies that we find. But yeah, having that network around you, it's so important. The Navy tries to provide that to you, but you don't always get the friends that you want around you. So understanding how you can build some of those friendships is huge. It's a hard lesson sometimes.
Yeah, look at what you got around you. I talk to patients all the time. There are intramural sports, there's chapel, there's USO and the RAW, you know, center, yeah. Like all sorts of volunteer opportunities, going on trips through MWR.
Yeah.
There's ways of meeting people that are outside of your workspace if that's what's bothering you. And I really encourage people to engage in those areas and try to broaden the group of people that they're around, especially if that is part of the problem they're experiencing.
Well, I would add to that too. I mean, that word engagement, right? So if you're finding yourself in the midst of difficulty and struggling, you know, the first question our minds want to ask is, how do I get rid of this difficulty and struggling? And maybe the more helpful thing is like, what does engagement look like for me? Maybe it is social engagement. Maybe it's engagement in personal growth and development activities or education or family relationships and things like that. And so that question of like, what does engagement look like? How can I cultivate more engagement in the things that I care about that matter to me in my life in the midst of the difficulty can help us kind of manage and work through a lot of those things too.
Yeah. So as you're talking about this, the engagement, how we, there's so many things I wish we could have had the chance to talk about with this one, like ways that we find some peace and fulfillment. It's so different for everybody. I know I would rather go home, sit with my family, ignore the rest of the world, and that helps recharge me. But there are people who would find that stifling. They want to get out there and be around more people. They want to go do more things. It's just the difference in the way that we find a way to recharge ourselves. It so many interesting things. I think we could have talked about this. And it's just such a fascinating topic.
Yeah.
But before we end the show, I do want to make sure that we talk about a couple of things that are coming up that are related to this. So next Wednesday, we've got the Social Emotional Wellness Family Night at DGF. We did this last year. I thought it was really, really good. And they took some feedback from the last one to make it an even stronger event. So for those who participated last year and wish that there was some more ways to talk to people or to have some of those conversations, I think they've put together an even better program this year. So next Wednesday, 4:45, it kicks off, multi-purpose room at DGF. The Month of the Military Child, there's a lunch vendor fair hosted by the Health Promotions Team at the Naval Hospital Rota, so NMRTC, Thursday, April 18th at 11:30 in the Housing Pavilion, so right between Building 1 and the hospital. I know I've got a town hall meeting tomorrow, so with the chiefs. But I would ask anybody, if you got something that you want me to answer, you want to talk to me about something, please let us know. I would love to have a conversation with you. I'll come out and you can talk with me in person if you want to over by the chiefs mess in Camp Mitchell. But really, thank you, Docs, for this conversation. I love the direction we're going and providing all the tools to all of our folks here on the installation. Hey, there's
speaking of
the social emotional wellness, they're going to be talking about that, I think, in the next hour. But to everybody who's listening out there, right, if you need somebody to talk to, I think there are lots of folks that you can talk to. I hope that you find a way to talk to the right person to help get you going where you need to find some peace, to be able to focus on what you want to focus on. But thank you, Docs, for coming on and having this conversation with us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming in, sir. Captain Suarez, Lieutenant Commander Hansley, Lieutenant Commander Rex. And for someone who, you know, wants to reach out to you directly, how could they get a hold of you two?
For me, just call Medical Homeport, the same way you would make a appointment for any other thing at Medical Homeport.
And same with behavioral health. So the behavioral health number I don't have off the top of my head, but we can get that to you. Just looking at the hospital website to get that number, or you can walk in. We take walk-in schedule appointments, and we can get you to the right level of care that you need to be.
Awesome. Thank you once again. Coming up next is the Safety Dance. After that, we're going to take a quick break for your sports and news, but we'll be back with Randy Lambert, the school liaison officer here at Naval Station Rota.